You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And finally, here in December, we're going to be talking about True Dialogue, which I just mentioned in a recent Breaches of the Week video, that an audio and podcast that I do every Sunday. And basically, it was early to mid-December, cybersecurity researchers basically detailed their findings on the True Dialogue database leak. Now, this is an American communications company based in Austin, Texas. Now, True Dialogue basically creates SMS or text message solutions for large, basically everybody from small business to large business, and currently works with over 990 cell phone operators and reaches more than 5 billion subscribers around the world. And so basically they are a corporate text messaging solution, and that is a very serious issue when that has a data breach, because the researchers say that the True Dialogue database, hosted in Microsoft Azure and basically run on Oracle's marketing cloud in the United States, included 604 gigabytes of data. This included nearly 1 billion entries of highly sensitive data. The sensitive data contained in millions of basically text messages, including, but was not limited to, full names of recipients, True Dialogue account holders and users, content of the messages, email addresses, phone numbers and recipients, date and time managed, times message sent, in other words, message stamps of when things were sent and received, status indicators on message sent, like read receipts, replies, etc., and True Dialogue account deals. And so that is obviously very, very problematic, in the sense that if you are using a corporate text messaging solution to conduct business, you have an expectation of security. And so those are your breaches of the year, the top breaches of the year as of to date, as I'm sitting here talking to you. And I find it interesting that of the about 10 or so data breaches that we just talked about, maybe 10 to 12, four of them involve Facebook directly, which means Facebook is our winner for worst company in 2019 in terms of data breaches. I wish I didn't have to say that, but I will continue taking Facebook to task for this kind of stuff, because they literally were involved in hundreds of millions, if no, actually billions, if you combine all of that, of leaked passwords, leaked information, data that was scraped due to poor control. It's obviously a very serious issue that we have on our hands. Basically, why their upper brass is not facing criminal charges at this point mystifies me. But here we are, and so hopefully that will be the end of data breaches, in 2019. And this year was also the worst year on record for data breaches. More data breaches, per capita, more records exposed per capita as well, were in 2019. The last year, the basically second place for exposures was 2018, followed by 2017 and 16, and on, meaning it is getting worse. And we know that by 2021, the world will have collectively spent $1 trillion on cyber defense. That's you, me, that's our respective governments around the globe, grandma in Idaho, all that kind of stuff. And by 2021, the hackers will have extracted over $6 trillion from us, basically due to fraud of some kind. That is the single largest wealth transfer in history. And 2019 data breaches kind of prove that the hackers are still well on their way to achieving that $6 trillion plus goal collectively. So that's absolutely insane. This is why we need good security. This is why we need good awareness of the databases, of the logins, of the social media, of the websites that we use, because you never know when one of them is going to end up on a list. And if you are a Facebook user, you can pretty much guarantee that you are going to end up on a list, primarily because we are doing nothing but discovering massive Facebook privacy violations and data breaches out there, let alone everything else I just talked about, including Capital One, First American. It was a crazy, crazy year for data breaches. And so that is your data breach year in review. I'm pretty sure you were affected. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the deep dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a deep dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin. And this week's deep dive is going to look forward into 2020. We are at the end of 2019. It's my last show, as I mentioned. And basically, I want to talk about the five tech trends that are going to continue to explode into 2020. And I want to give you five or so predictions on what I think we're going to see in 2020 on various specific topics here. Now, with that, I'd like to start with the trends, because the first one I want to talk about is artificial intelligence. Did you know that basically 5 out of 6 Americans use AI services in one form or another every day? This includes navigation apps, streaming services, smartphone personal assistants, ride sharing apps, home personal assistants, smart home devices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In addition to consumer use, AI is used to do things like schedule trains, assess business risk, predict maintenance, improve energy efficiency, and basically other things that are pretty much designed to save you and business money. Now, experts say that automation will eliminate 73 million more jobs by 2030. However, automation is creating jobs as well as eliminating them, especially in the field of AI. Now, basically, researchers predict that jobs in AI will number 23 million in the year 2020, and jobs will be created in the development, programming, testing, support, and maintenance of AI, to basically name a few of the different fields in artificial intelligence. So, AI architect is also one of the jobs that is going to be pretty highly in demand, according to a lot of analysts as well. And so that is definitely something to look out for in 2020, because that will continue to explode. And speaking of automation, that's the next one I want to talk about in 2020, is robotic process automation, or RPA. Now, RPA is basically the use of software to automate business processes, such as interpreting applications, processing transactions, dealing with data, and even replying to emails. Now, RPA automates repetitive tasks that people used to do. Now, these aren't just menial tasks of a low-paid worker. Up to 45% of the activities, according to researchers, that we do on a daily basis can actually be automated, including the work of financial managers, doctors, and CEOs. There's actually been tests of artificial intelligence doctors, and I think that is absolutely fascinating. Now, Forrester Research estimates that RPA automation will threaten the livelihood of 230 million or more knowledge workers, or approximately 9% of the global workforce. But RPA is also creating new jobs while altering existing ones, obviously removing menial tasks. McKinsey, the research firm, finds that less than 5% of occupations can be totally automated, but about 60% can be partially automated. And so we are basically going to see possibly a labor issue here, in the sense that as things get automated, maybe people get their hours reduced or fired or whatever that is. And then what are we going to do? Train all of them on how to handle and take care of the automation? You might need one person for a company of 100, for example, to do that. So it's going to be a very interesting thing, and it's going to continue to explode. That is a trend that is absolutely on the upswing. The next trend I want to talk about is virtual reality and augmented reality as well. Now, virtual reality, or VR, basically immerses the user in an environment, while augmented reality, if you are not familiar with this, actually enhances the environment that they're around. And so although VR has basically and primarily been used for gaming so far, it actually has been used for things like training. So for example, the US Navy has something called Virtual Ship, where they use virtual reality to train sailors on how to operate a ship. The US Army's got one as well, and all of that. Now, if you're looking at augmented reality, you can look at things like Pokemon Go. This is an app on your phone that would, you know, take you, let's say, to an area and then basically start adding to it. So you're looking at a scene in a park and suddenly they would add a Pokemon or something to it. That's the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality. Now, there are major players in the VR market like Google, Samsung, Oculus, which is now owned by Facebook, but there are a ton of startups that are forming and they are definitely hiring because basically we are going to see an explosion of this. A lot of these smaller companies might have some kind of niche VR or AR system or programming or capability that the larger companies, the Samsungs and Oculuses and Googles of the world are going to want to buy. So that trend will continue to blow up and there's no doubt about it. The fourth trend that I want to talk about is blockchain. And I find this actually very interesting because blockchain's been around for years, you know, and I think in a couple of years ago, I want to say it was 2017 or 2018, you know, when Bitcoin exploded, it really got on the map. But now it's really starting to take trend. Now, most people think of blockchain technology in relation to cryptocurrency, such as Bitcoin, stuff like that. But blockchain actually offers security that is useful in many ways. Now, let's break this down a little bit. In the simplest of terms, blockchain can be described as data that you can only add to, not take away from, or change. So hence the term chain, because you're actually making a chain of data. Not being able to change the previous blocks is actually what makes it so secure. In addition, blockchains are consensus-driven, meaning everybody in the blockchain, computer-wise and all of that, agrees that the blockchain is in fact the blockchain. So no entity can actually take control of the data. With blockchain, you don't need a third party to validate a transaction because the entire chain is validated by the users in the chain. That's in the most simplest terms. And I'm sure I'm going to get some message from some blockchain, you know, aficionado that's like, oh, Nick, you didn't go into the 18 different things. But that is the overview of what blockchain is. Now, several industries are actually involving and implementing blockchain now outside of cryptocurrency. And basically, it's the use of and basically as the use of blockchain technology increases, so does the demand for work. So when we were talking about automation and all of that, you know, it's one of those things where, OK, maybe our job gets outsourced or fired or whatever due to automation. But then there is a need in several different verticals in technology, and blockchain is one of them. And so the researchers basically are saying we're behind in this. According to TechCrunch, blockchain-related jobs are the second fastest-growing category of jobs, with basically 14 job openings for every one blockchain developer, which is crazy. And so if you are looking to get into the technology industry, blockchain may be one of those things that, you know, that is not going away. And I've read articles both for or against the combination of blockchain and quantum computing. Some say quantum computing will basically control blockchains and make them more secure. Others say, depending on the use, quantum computing might just blow the doors off a blockchain. But we are going to see where that goes. But nevertheless, that trend will continue to grow in 2020. And the last trend that I want to talk about here, which is absolutely just exploding, and every year it has been, is Internet of Things, or IoT. These are your connected devices that are not actually like a laptop or a desktop or, you know, a computer of some kind. This could be like a DVR that's connected to the internet, like a Ring doorbell kind of thing, which nobody should buy. But, you know what I mean? That kind of thing, you know, a toaster that connects to the internet for some reason, a refrigerator. That's all IoT. Now, in 2017, IoT was 8.4 billion devices. 8.4 billion IoT devices. These are your toasters, your Ring doorbells, you take your pick, all over the globe. Basically, by 2020, meaning in the next couple of weeks, we are expecting to hit 30 billion IoT devices. And so basically through 2021, we are going to continue to see an absolute massive growth in IoT, and that is not going away. But IoT is also one of the largest cybersecurity concerns that we have on the planet. This is also why it's the last tech trend I want to talk about, because while, let's say, blockchain is not really a security issue, and there are ways to attack a blockchain, basically, in and of itself, that has a security function. And the problem that we have with IoT is that a lot of these products get rushed to market because they're trying to beat their competitors out there, and then corners get cut in their development in terms of actually securing these things. And so oftentimes you're going to get a IoT device where they just left the default password in as password. You know, something along those lines. And so we have seen some of the most malicious attacks happen since 2016 by virtue of exposed IoT devices. I literally do a live demonstration when I'm in front of a live audience, of how I can literally pull up like open webcams, you know, just around the globe. Like, oh, let's go look at one in Italy or Germany or the United States or Japan or wherever, and get to login screens, to try to get into these things. And that's a serious problem. If we are going to continue to explode IoT, and that juggernaut is not slowing down in any way, shape, or form, we need to make sure that we are also ensuring the security, and that starts at the creation and development level. And whereas right now, I think many developers have the expectation that the user will do it, and most of us don't know how. So I think that's a very serious issue that we need to address, basically here and with other things. So with that, those are your five trends of 2020 that are going to continue to explode. Now, let me give you five predictions in 2020 that I think are going to come to fruition, because I think the evidence is here and it's logical, and feel free to disagree. I would love to hear your predictions on 2020 as well as your trends as well. And I'll mention that at the end. But the first prediction that I've got for 2020 actually comes with smart speakers. These are the Amazon Echoes and the Google Homes and all this kind of stuff. Those two currently dominating the market. And I think at some point Facebook is going to pull out of that. That's a minor prediction. That's not my main prediction, on smart home speakers. But Facebook has the Portal, which I hope nobody is buying. And so they are probably going to kill that. But my prediction with smart speakers for 2020 is that they are really going to, that's Amazon and Google, they are really going to start ramping up the advertising to your smart home speaker. And I think that's just a logical trend. Google has made its money over advertising. Amazon is looking at ways to get into your life, to sell you better things through Amazon. And so we are going to see a more aggressive, probably artificial intelligence backed advertising system come to these, now that there are tens of millions of these devices littered across the United States and the globe. It just makes sense that as these things listen and you start talking about stuff, they're actually going to start advertising to you before they start streaming whatever you want to stream, all that kind of stuff. So I would be prepared for that. And if you have a smart home system that has a screen on it, I would be prepared to get advertising on that. I think that just makes perfect sense. The next prediction I want to talk about is on 5G. I don't think 5G is going to expand, at least in the United States, as quickly as the major telecom carriers like Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, et cetera, are saying, even though they are claiming significant amounts of 5G coverage. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is we have actually seen in the last couple of years, as 5G has gotten spun up and tested, blowback from some local governments over radiation. So there is a small city north of San Francisco that voted as a town not to integrate 5G technology into their town for fear of radiation and all of that. And there's actually been a smattering of that that I think slows the growth, which means, the Verizons of the world have to then fight through red tape, get lawyers involved if they want to expand, or simply just ignore entire pockets, of society in which 5G infrastructure, which has, I think, a lot of benefits. We've literally seen the very first live surgery performed remotely over 5G in China. But that's an issue. The other problem I think that we're going to have, and that actually gives the carriers more time, is that we have pretty slow cell phone adoption. Unless you're a hardcore, Apple user that every year has to have the latest and greatest iPhone or Samsung or whatever, the majority of the people are not going to have 5G enabled phones. And so as we start to adopt those phones, we're going to see, I think, the growth of 5G. But in 2020, the majority of the population will still have phones that are only capable at 4G. So for example, I have a phone here. I happen to be up, on my carrier, and I got a new phone, and it is 5G enabled. But the only place I've seen 5G is when I'm in specific areas of downtown Chicago, You know, and when I'm throughout the Chicagoland, everything else is 4G. This is what I'm talking about. And we also have a problem with just this international trade war that the United States is in with China. A lot of intelligence services in the United States, as well as our partners in Europe and Australia, have really been taking Huawei, that's a Chinese company, to task for developing 5G infrastructure that might offer the Chinese government some kind of backdoor into the system or some kind of security threat to infrastructure. And so that has also, you know, basically slowed growth as well. It is not slow growth in China. China has been pivoting and moving to develop and deploy a 5G network nationwide at breakneck speed. And they've been doing it quite well using Huawei technology, but they also censor and monitor their citizens, which I'm sure Huawei is perfectly in line with. And that's the concern that we have here in the West. So I think those two or three things, blowback from governments, slow phone adoptions, and basically this fight with one of the largest 5G makers over security concerns, national security concerns. And I think most of us, when we hit January 1st, 2021, we'll still be on 4G wherever we live. I think that's just the way it's going to be. While they will expand, I don't think it's going to be as aggressive as the major carriers are saying, at least here in the United States. My third prediction for 2020 is that Apple will not do anything special. They're just not. I mean, so if we look at this, in 2019, they lost their chief product designer, Yanni Ives, who basically created and designed the iPhone and the MacBook Air and all of these just iconic devices, gadgets, and computers for Apple. And by virtue of that, they are going to have to reshuffle as well. And so we'll probably get another iPhone out next year, which would make perfect sense. Probably another iPad. You know, the phone will probably have four cameras instead of three, because three is the number this year, you know, that kind of thing. But in terms of innovation, in terms of like, wow, they just revolutionized the tech industry. Like, for example, when Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone, you know, with no physical keyboard on it, you know, when compared to a BlackBerry, it just made everything else look like a dinosaur. They're not going to do anything like that in 2020. There's nothing on that horizon. Now, they've talked about integrating smart glasses as well as building their own smart car, but they are years behind Tesla. And now that Porsche and Ford and Mercedes and everybody else is in this game, I don't necessarily think Apple is really going to be developing a smart car. They might be just developing integrated technology that they could sell to the Teslas and the Porsches of the world, you know, and whatnot. And there's no dedicated timeline on their smart glasses or anything else. You know, I think we have basically in Tim Cook a very capable CEO, but he's not an innovator. He's basically one that is maintaining the house and allowing for slow and incremental growth. He's not a disruptor like Steve Jobs was. And so I don't think Apple's going to do anything. They're going to have their new products out, but, you know, it's going to be slightly better than last year's products, which were slightly better than the previous year's products, and on and on and on. I'm sure they will advertise the heck out of it as the new innovative whatever, but typically, no, it's not. We've seen most of the latest features that are adopted, and when Apple says it's a never-before-seen feature, 9 times out of 10, it's been on an Android for 2 or 3 years. So don't expect anything big from Apple this year. I just, you know, don't think so. And if you're a hardcore Apple fan or you're due up and you want the latest iPhone, whatever, when they come out, I mean, knock yourself out, but, you know, just don't expect to be blown away by anything. It'll definitely be a better phone, no doubt, but it's not going to be revolutionary. The next one I actually want to talk about is tech workers. This is my next prediction. Tech workers basically are going to continue to be and increase being internal activists at major tech companies. Now, we have already seen several internal protests at various companies. So Google had one over developing what was called Project Dragonfly, which was for the Beijing government, which was a censored search engine. They got taken to task for that. You know, Facebook has been taken to task by their employees as well for lack of privacy and transparency. They also just recently had a data breach where 29,000 employees' payroll information got dumped. So that was obviously a huge issue. Microsoft has seen internal protests for basically getting a contract with the Department of Defense. A lot of Microsoft workers don't want to work for some kind of military, but Microsoft is obviously moving forward with that, and other stated you know, positions and policies. Now, interestingly enough, we have not seen really any protests or internal strife coming out of Apple, which is the other big tech company here. They've been pretty much silent, but the most recent position of Apple as it relates to the Beijing government is probably going to draw fire from U.S. workers. Apple has been bending over backwards to, you know, in the same censorship authoritarian vein that Google has in order to basically make sure that they have a large market in you know, in China. I have personally been to the Apple store in the center of Beijing, China, and it is massive. It is multiple stories. It is huge. Apple really wants to be in that country. It is the largest market by population, you know, and they've got over 800 million mobile phone users. So Apple, I think we're going to start to see employees really take Apple to task for basically kowtowing, for lack of a better term, to the Chinese government. And so we'll see where that goes. But you can continue to see, or we will continue to see internal strife at these companies as these companies take on projects their employees just don't like, don't fit their worldview or their politics or whatever. So that is my fourth prediction. And my last prediction for 2020, which I think is probably the most obvious, is that the year of 2020, and I will probably say this on January 1st, 2021, that 2020 was the worst year in history for data breaches. Right now, as I'm talking to you here in 2019, 2019 was the worst year in data breaches. Every year, we get progressively worse as we lack security, we lack control, as we spin up more and more IoT devices that we're not defending. This is a very serious problem, and it's not going away anytime soon. And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time, and I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.